Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, April 8th, 2016. My name is Angela Walton-Raji and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everyone, how are you? I hope all is going well. We've had some cool weather this week and a bit rainy. Oh, my gosh. The heavens kind of opened up yesterday for a while there here in the Mid-Atlantic, but it looks as if a lot of it's blown out to sea, but we can't be too confident that everything is over because guess what? We are actually expecting some snow this weekend. Yeah, I knew that was going to come. There's usually one last little snowstorm to just remind you that it's not all over, and it usually happens in the spring when you think that everything is over. And here we are, April, but it's still early April. By late April, things will be a little bit better. But, you know, it's still early April, and yeah, it's chilly. Still need your jackets. Still need to kick that heat on once in a while, too. But anyway, that's the way it is. Hey, write about it. Put it in your journal. Talk about it. The next generation will find it interesting. Anyway, how is everyone? I hope that you're all busy, and I hope you're gearing up for lots of events that are underway. Last week, we had lectures that were going on here in Maryland area. I know that there's some workshops coming up, and in fact, I am looking forward to next month in May, looking forward to giving a presentation at the Family History Center in Kensington, Maryland, and just quite excited to be able to, well, just start to approach this new season of presentations, conferences, everything is going on. And of course, there's a lot that you can do right at home. Had a good day yesterday. Had a chance to teach or co-teach a class with my colleague Noreen Goodson, a class at the Baltimore County Historical Society in Cockeysville, Maryland. And oh gosh, Noreen did a fabulous job with her beginner's genealogy sort of, I won't even say it's not a lecture. It was a workshop. She had people doing work themselves and had them learning how to do some new things as well. So I think it was just really great. And if you ever have a chance to catch Noreen Goodson, you really want to get a hold of her. And if you're part of a group that's looking for a speaker, looking for someone to teach beginners, she is the lady to grab for that. Anyway, we had a good turnout in the students were very, very involved in it, and it was just an awful lot of fun. Next week, by the way, and I am excited, and just a moment of shameless self-promotion, we have an event coming up at the Benjamin Banneker Park and Museum, which is in Catonsville, Maryland, actually in a neighborhood known as Oella, O-E-L-L-A, Oella. And Oella, believe it or not, is a community that has been around for well over 200 years and probably over 220-something years. It was established in the late 1700s, and one of their most famous residents was Benjamin Banneker himself. That's right, the African-American patriot, a gentleman who helped lay out part of the design or the layout of the nation's capital. That's right, he helped to design the layout for the city of Washington, D.C. Anyway, the park itself, Park and Museum, happened to be located on the parcel of land that used to be the land where he himself resided. And that community is quite a fascinating one anyway, very historic. Mount Gilboa AME Church is there, one of the older churches certainly in this community. And fascinating history in and of itself, and Benjamin Banneker is buried there. Anyway, yours truly, that's right, I am going to have the honor of teaching a class on Tuesday. So if you're in the greater Baltimore area and are interested in a class, a beginning genealogy class as well, that's going to be at the Benjamin Banneker Museum at 10 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that. Should be loads of fun. And as I said, this is almost the season. The weather's getting warmer, and this is the season that I just find totally invigorating. A chance to sort of get out and also explore. I've had a chance to talk and interact with individuals who are exploring the western part of Baltimore County. And, you know, hey, I'll ask you a question. How many of you have really looked at the history of the community where you live? I'm not saying necessarily your hometown, because many of us don't live in the same communities where we grew up. And I do hope that you have a strong interest in preserving that history. But how about the community where you live? Well, I've lived in Baltimore County for quite some time, and have in recent months, the last couple of years, but in recent months more specifically, have had a chance to explore and to learn a lot more about the African-American community that resided there both before and right after the Civil War, and to see the remnants of some of the old communities as they were over 150 years ago, and that's just been quite exciting. Well, one of the things I think that I encourage people to do, and I have learned from people who have inspired me, that they often have looked right where they are to get involved with preservation, local preservation as well, and it's something that's just truly not just inspiring, but very enriching, very empowering, and something from whom we can all learn. And certainly I would encourage you to do something of a similar nature. Anyway, let's get on with things. Tomorrow, you've got to tune in 2 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have the time tomorrow, you want to catch it live. You want to listen to... You know what? I'm saying tomorrow. Today is Friday. Holy cow. Back up. Today, because today is the 8th. Today is Friday, 2 p.m. today. You want to tune in for a webinar. And you want to listen to Melvin Collier, who's going to talk about two things. Of course, looking at the family, putting together the story, putting together a family history that comes out of slavery, but he is using technology to do it. How is he doing this? Well, Melvin Collier was able to solve an amazing family history and put together a family, sort of in a sense one could say reunite a family through DNA. And he was able to confirm enslaved ancestors by finding new DNA cousins and then realizing, wait a minute, what has possibly happened here? Well, are we possibly related through this family where there was a separation? Well, you want to find out how he did that. That's going to be today, but don't forget, after today, starting tomorrow, you'll be able to catch it as a podcast, well, at least for a few days. It is a webinar, and of course, you know, a webinar is a presentation, but it's just being done live online. Anyway, this is a webinar sponsored by Legacy Family Tree Webinars, and you really want to catch Melvin's presentation. And I really, really, really hope that you'll be able to tune in. And wow, his presentations are exciting anyway. One of the things I like about his strategy, he creates a theory and then sets out to prove it. And in this case, the proof that he was seeking was the fact that he had some matches and had some DNA cousins. Well, maybe we should have a few other people test to see if this is the same match to determine how that connection is made. Really quite fascinating. Anyway, tune in later today if you have that chance. You do want to catch Melvin Collier, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Family Tree Webinars. I'm putting a link for you right there. So on the podcast website, so you don't have to go and hunt for it. You do want to be able to find it. Well, what do you know about DNA beyond that, putting together things? There are all kinds of words that you're going to hear. You're going to hear everything from centimorgans to recombination to mutation to mitochondrial DNA to haplogroup to chromosome and on and on and on, centimorgans. Autosomal tests, on and on and on. Well, it does get to be confusing. Sorry about that phone. But it does get to be confusing, and how do you make sense of it all? Well, it's not that easy. It's not something that you just pick up and read a quick article and you're ready to go and to start making, I guess, solutions or reaching conclusions. You might want to consider taking the DNA track at Maggie. Maggie, M-A-A-G-I, the Midwest African American Genealogy Institute. It is taking place this year now in its fourth year at Allen County Public Library at the Genealogy Center. This is the world famous Allen County Library, which of course is the largest genealogy library outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. And at the Genealogy Center, Maggie will be there. There are four tracks. DNA is the newest of the tracks. Oh my goodness. This will be a chance to have within 3 days 12 separate classes, individualized attention. You can find out about triangulation and what it is and how to do it. Find out how to utilize, how to upload, and then how to utilize data on GEDmatch. How many of you have heard of GEDmatch and you're not quite sure you've uploaded your data? Now what's supposed to happen? And there are all kinds of features on many of the sites. And what do you do when you're finding these matches through autosomal tests such as Ancestry DNA or 23andMe and other tests? What does it all mean, and how do you make sense of it? And how do you interpret what you found? Well, you're going to get that at Maggie. You're going to have a chance to hear even some aspects of the emotional side of DNA testing. You know, a lot of people are sometimes surprised at the results that they get. Well, how do you make sense out of the results? What does that mean? And how do you deal with that emotion? And of course, there's a lot of emotion that one can imagine that those who are adoptees go through. They're finally finding a blood relative after many years of living with others, hopefully loving people, but people to whom there was no blood tie in many cases, and then finding that first blood tie. There's an emotional reaction to that, but of course the emotion exceeds just that reaction from adoptees. They're the reactions of others who are surprised perhaps to find an ethnic makeup that they did not expect, or those who were expecting a certain ethnic makeup and found something different. And how do they deal with that, or how does one interpret that? Perhaps one seeing that a family story is true, something that people have heard, perhaps there was always doubt, and now here's DNA confirming, yes, it is true. All kinds of emotions that people have. Well, you may want to explore the DNA track. Bernice Bennett has an amazing presentation that she gives pertaining to the emotional side of DNA. There's the technical part of DNA. Shannon Christmas is going to be outlining an awful lot of that. And I'm going to put some information about that track up for you, because this is a really good opportunity to not just go to a conference and sit through one lecture on DNA and walk out kind of scratching your head saying, well, I think I know a little bit more than what I knew. But no, 12 classes. Whatever track you take at Maggie, it's 12 classes on that subject. We're talking about the week after the 4th of July, so it's the second week in July, at Allen County, the Genealogy Center at Allen County Library, which of course we know is a major genealogical center. And here are some of the most skilled genealogists who specialize in various aspects of the African American genealogical world, the community. And it's a great opportunity. So, you know, hey, DNA, yeah, you just might want to consider taking a full track and seeing where you might want to go. And also, I also encourage you to look at Maggie as a whole. You know, there are plenty of people who take courses here and there, but with new things emerging, new technologies emerging as well, and new databases emerging, there's a lot to go through. And maybe we can give you a little bit of assistance with the experience at the Institute. And of course, the difference between a conference and an Institute is that at an Institute, we are teaching. We're teaching you. Sometimes you even have homework. You have a chance to engage in a way that you can never engage at a conference. So you may want to look at Maggie. That's MaggieInstitute.org, M-A-A-G-I, Institute.org. And, hey, you may want to join us. I'll put a link there for you on the podcast website. Well, last night, did you have the opportunity to tune in to Bernie Spinnett's show? Now, let me ask this question. Do you have anyone in your family who was active in the Eastern Star? Or perhaps someone else in the family who was a Mason, perhaps a Prince Hall Mason, or an uncle or great uncle who was a member of the Grand United Order of Odd Fellows? Or have you had an experience of going through a cemetery and you find an ancestor and you're curious, you see some sort of symbol of some kind of organization, you're not quite sure what it means, or, wow, what are all these numbers at the top of this headstone? You see one with a bunch of threes on the top of a circle, another stone, you see someone with a bunch of sevens on top of a circle. What in the world is that? Or you see someone else with MTA and some all fancy designs. What in the world is that? Well, these are organizations and emblems that represent fraternal organizations. And when I'm saying fraternal, I don't necessarily mean fraternal as in Greek fraternity. No, I mean brotherhood and even sisterhood membership organizations, many of which, believe it or not, became the essence of the Black community in terms of social life. And many of us don't know the stories that go along with it. But if you have an ancestor who's in such a group, you're on the edge of finding out a lot more about them, a lot more about the activities in which they engaged, and a chance to really learn something about the community where they lived. Now, I said, what were you doing last night? Because last night you had the opportunity to listen to two young men who pretty much, and I'm really happy to see this, who pretty much have become authorities in their own right, independent of each other, but in so many ways they are similar, and now they are acquaintances, they are friends. And I'm speaking about James Morgan III, who is a very, very, very knowledgeable young man, particularly on Prince Hall Masons and other fraternal organizations as well. And out of Louisiana comes Mr. Jari Honore, who's very, very familiar and knowledgeable, well-schooled on the history of African Americans, also in Catholic organizations such as the Knights of Peter Claver, the Knights of Columbus, and more. There are numerous groups that are out there, and these young men independently have developed this interest. I first met Jari Honore years ago, in fact, at the first International Black Genealogy Summit that took place in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he gave a fascinating presentation on using diocesan records for those who have ancestors from Louisiana or from Maryland, St. Mary's County, or Baltimore, who perhaps were members of Roman Catholic Black churches, Black parishes. But he had a lot of information about how to use diocesan records to document your family history. Became very, very, well, fascinated with what he was sharing. But then I also learned about not only his knowledge of the Knights of Peter Claver, that many people have no clue as to what that is, but also he is an active member of the Knights of Peter Claver. Then, fast forward 5 or 6 years, and in comes Mr. James Morgan III, young man himself, very active and knowledgeable about the history of the Prince Hall Masons, but other additional groups. he himself is also a Prince Hall Mason as well. And I believe he is the most worshipful Grand Master of the Corinthian Lodge, I believe, which is very active in Washington. And again, these two young men, independent of each other, have such a similar knowledge base on distinct groups. Well, you may have ancestors who were in these groups, and you may also learn about some others. Now, I have personal interest in these groups. I attended a preservation conference years ago, noticed from a cemetery preservation perspective, unique markings on headstones. And the most, I guess, dominant inscription that I was noticing or imprint on headstones were those that had the letters MTA, which of course I know now to be the Mosaic Templars of America, one of the largest and one of the earliest benevolent societies, African American, in the country, with its origins in Arkansas. Anyway, from there I became interested in other societies and realized the dramatic impact that they had on the local community. And then I realized, oh my gosh, open your eyes. This was going on even before the Mosaic Templars with other groups. You had the Knights of Liberty. You had the and other groups that were formed around the same time. You've had, of course, the Prince Hall Masons, but you've had so many more, the Odd Fellows, and on and on and on. And they have really formed a critical part of the community. And as a result, my eyes have been opened and I continually learn a lot. I was fascinated and intrigued to learn about UBF, United Brothers of Friendship, SMT, and the Sisters of the Mysterious Ten. Well, as it turns out, UBF SMT was a major group, and this is one of those groups that had those unique headstones. Well, last night on Bernice Bennett's show, these two young men were able to really share their knowledge base. She had both Jerry Honoré and James Morgan III to come on and just share their knowledge with the rest of us. Now, if you're curious about what some of these groups are, first of all, don't discount the fact that your ancestors may have been there. You may say, oh, I've never heard anybody say that anybody in our family was a Mason. Well, they may not have been a Mason. They may have been an Odd Fellow. They may have been a member of the Independent Order of St. Luke or the Knights of Tabor, and on and on and on. There are countless numbers of these groups, and I'm intrigued. There is now a growing interest, even on Facebook. I am so excited to see that, in fact, James Morgan III actually started a fraternal group online on Facebook, because you know there's a very large African-American genealogical presence on Facebook. Well, he started African American Fraternal and Benevolent Society History Facebook group. And it's just exciting to see it. And in fact, someone just posted, I guess, a couple of days ago, they learned that one of their ancestors was a member of the Independent Order of St. Luke that was coming out of Virginia with Maggie Walker. And but there's just so much more that's there. I urge you to take a look, because if you can get your hands on some of these proceedings that are published, and especially those that were published 100 years ago by many of these groups, the biographies are there, sometimes of your own ancestors. Oh my goodness. They are wonderful. And there is such a library. And you don't have to worry, just in case someone is very active in one of these groups today. No, we're not trying to learn the secret handshake. We're not trying to learn any passwords or secret codes. No, we're just trying to find out some history. And trust me, that history is there. And these pieces of information coming from these proceedings, which were in and of themselves books, wow, the history that is there. It's an overlooked and underused resource for African American genealogy. Absolutely amazing. Truly, truly, truly. And I really hope that many of you will decide to, well, just take a look and see. Anyway, oh, wow. Oh, dear, I'm checking the time. I think I've been going on almost a half an hour. Well, I guess it is time for me to kind of bring things down to a close for this week, but there's so many things that are going on, and I just wanted to mention just a handful of them, and we're all looking forward to hearing more in terms of what's going to be coming out of the new conferences, looking for the schedules to be posted for the summit, Black Genealogy Summit, coming up this year in the greater Washington area. That's the International Black Genealogy Summit, which is going to be exciting. And, of course, we're waiting to hear who's going to be presenting also later in the year for OGS in Atlanta. So we're all sort of having a good time. Have you been watching any of the television programs, Relative Race? I've been enjoying that. Oh, my goodness, although this is a little bit of The Great Race or whatever that reality show was. It's a combination of The Great Race and genealogy because people have a task to accomplish, and then they get to meet DNA relatives who are strangers to them that they didn't know, but it's just really kind of interesting. So, wow. But I also want to encourage you to do one more thing, and I'll just end it with a question. The question of the week is, how many stories do you know? How many stories do you know about your family? Do you know the stories of, if they were enslaved, well, how did they become free? How did freedom come to the family? Or if they were not enslaved, do you know, were they born free? Did they come to America in the 19th century from another place? Was the family stemming from a family, a blended family of indentured servants who had slaves with someone of African ancestry? What are the stories, and how did they live? Do you know those stories? You know, we do a little bit more than just collect names, and I hope that you're thinking about the process of telling the story of your family. That should be what we're doing. That should be what we're about. And hopefully, we're hoping that you'll be sharing some of your stories. I'm looking forward to seeing some stories emerging. There are a couple of new blogs I'll be sharing with you in the next week or so as well. But anyway, gosh, I want to thank you for just taking out a little time to listen and to just be there. I love the fact that you are always sharing things with me, what's going on, what's coming up. Hope to see some of you, well, in the audience, I'll say, virtually, in a sense, at the webinar later today. And of course, if you're in the greater Baltimore area, I hope that some of you will try to make it to the Benjamin Banneker Museum. Anyway, it's something to look forward to. And as I said, thank you for listening. And oh my goodness, just continue to do what you do. And you know what I'm going to say, of course, keep researching. Keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Take care, everyone. Have a great week, and be well and be safe. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.